Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP Cullman. Live 95 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law this Tuesday, April 11th. 2017. Lots going on in the world of law. And so about 2 weeks ago, Melvin was out cruising on the cruise ship, had a vacation, and
this past back to reality.
I know, man. That's a, yeah, that's not good, is it? So this past weekend, Danielle and I, we took a ride down to the beach and had a great time. So here we go. We need to go across the road, and Danielle starts yelling at me. You're breaking the law. You're breaking, and guess what? As soon as we get to the radio station Tuesday, I'm telling Melvin. So look, whatever. The light's red, Melvin, okay?
Yes.
Now, okay, you got the little red hand up there. You're not supposed to walk, but there's no cars coming. So I crossed. I mean, how am I breaking the law? She yells at me that I'm jaywalking. I'm like, hey, there's no cops around. There's no cars coming.
You know, I have to go back to my my law school days. I can't remember what jaywalking is. I need to read the definition, because here's the deal. Everybody thinks that jaywalking is going against a light or doing something like that. I've always thought that, but that is not the definition. It is getting from, it's like somehow going perpendicular across.
I was not going perpendicular.
It's something crazy. And I guess since it's called jaywalking, I didn't know if it meant like a jaybird or something. I never knew what it meant, but I guess it's like the letter J. It's somehow about crossing over. I don't know. I've never represented anybody charged with jaywalking, so I've never looked at the law. I need to look it up.
Well,
put it on my to-do list.
She was quick to say, if you're going to get put in jail, I guess you need to call Melvin to come get you out of jail here in Gulf Shores. I'm like, whatever.
Well, yeah, we could have done it in Gulf Shores. Now, if you've been across the state, Panama City, you'd have to get you a Florida lawyer. Or you'd have to pay a lot of money. You know, I can go practice in Florida, but it's called pro hoc vice, which means I have to file something with the Florida bar and pay fees and get a Florida attorney to to sponsor me down there and then go practice.
So, in other words, you're telling me I'd be in jail.
You'd be in jail.
Look, there was no cars coming, so
surely
I don't think I broke the law.
Surely that's a violation. It's not a misdemeanor or a felony.
But so. I will admit, the red hand was still up on that little sign telling me not to cross, but I crossed anyway. So anyway. Well, Melvin, man, there's just a lot going on in law this week. It's just unbelievable. So now, here we go. Oh, you know, I'm almost thinking that ex-Governor Bentley is probably kin to Bill Clinton somehow. So he's got to chase women. And of course, this young lady, Rebecca Mason, I think she's trying to back out of everything, saying she done nothing wrong, she had no affair. Come on. Just admit it, be done with it, go on. Because like anything, today's news is nothing tomorrow.
Yes.
So, I mean, come on, lady. You done it, and let's just be over with it. Nobody's going to remember it here in another few months.
If she came to talk to me, I tell her keep her mouth shut and get on with her life, because, you know, this thing may not be over with. You know, who knows what comes up and who they're after and what they're doing. So sometimes it's better just to move on, keep your mouth shut, and nobody's going to believe you anyway. You know, you don't believe her when she tells you she didn't do nothing. I mean, why sit out there and run your mouth? Just keep your mouth shut and go on.
You know, and maybe when you get in a position of power, it just goes through your head a little bit, and I think it did with Governor Bentley. Now, wasn't he a dentist beforehand?
A dermatologist.
Dermatologist?
Yes.
So he should have just stayed in his practice.
Yes. Well, you know, he was in the legislature for, a couple of terms. He got elected to the House of Representatives. So.
Wow. It's just unbelievable. Finally, he decides that he needs to do the right thing and step down.
It's probably not the fair is bad. Is it legal, illegal? I mean, it's immoral, of course. I don't know that it's illegal. It's all the other stuff that you do with it. You know what I'm saying? It's the trying to hide it. It's the payoff, the money, using your authority to shut everybody up. That's what got them.
Exactly.
You know, and we really don't know the gist of it. If you got all the information that they had, he resigned for a reason. He didn't want that stuff to get out.
Exactly. So. But it's already out there.
It's out there. Not all of it, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure not.
It's out there.
But, you know, how many people knew about it? That's what I want to know. Because he's doing a full-time job telling everybody, hush, hush.
Yeah.
Don't say a word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all the way around, you're talking about his office staff, his, what is detail, security detail, all of it, man. Right. He had a lot of people trying to, he's trying to get them to cover him up. You know, and apparently, if you read and believe what everybody says, they're saying, look, you need to quit this, you need to quit this, you need to quit this, and should listen.
Yeah, because he thinks that power that he has is going to override everything, and it never does.
You know, I asked if he got paid. I need to look it up and see, did he ever get paid any money?
I don't know.
I know. You know, because when he went in, he says, I won't accept a check until the unemployment reaches whatever level. So I wonder if we ever reached that level, and if we did he finally get his money? Did he get all of his money? Did he lose it all? I don't know.
Right.
It's just a shame. It don't matter. It's the shame. I mean, you're on a board being an Alabama governor, and it's like a wall of shame now. They're probably going to put him up on the top. I mean, where are they going to put him? In the bathroom at the Capitol building? I don't know where his picture's going to get moved to. It's down there. I can't remember where it is in the Capitol. I guess it'd get moved.
So I seen the other day Tommy Tuberville, former Auburn head football coach, said that he's throwing his name in the hat. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, who knows? Nobody knew that Bentley would come out. I mean, he was shot. He was dead in the water when you have Bradley Byrne and some of the big, you know, big players backing him in the party, the Republican Party. So Bentley was out, and he come out of nowhere. So Tuberville may do it. You know what I'm saying? He's going to appeal to a lot of people.
He will.
Hey, we'll have to see what this election, the Trump election, you know, he's an outsider. You know, of course, all these people. I don't know if Kay Ivey's going to run for governor.
I doubt it.
She was pretty smart in, 2010. So she puts her hat in to be the governor and realizes it's a full field. And it'd probably be hard to win it, so she decides, all right, I'll switch over and run for lieutenant governor. Gets elected, gets reelected, and here she is, governor of Alabama.
Right. How about
you
that?
You know what I'm saying?
You never know.
If she would have run as governor first time, she might not have ever been that. She might not have been in this position. So
you're right.
We'll see where it goes. But, I, you know, some of these senators are going to run. Some of the big players down there is going to run. And, who knows how this other stuff is going to shake out.
But, you know, Charles Barkley, he barked there for a long time that he wanted governor. That never happened. But who knows? Tommy Tuberville may have a little pull in the state.
Yes.
We will wait and see. So now that we have Governor Ivey, acting governor, she has signed a bill overriding judicial override. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, there's Alabama was the last state. There was actually two other states earlier this year, and I think they've already changed it, and it's all come up from the Florida case. But if a person was convicted of capital murder and the jury recommended, because the jury can give advisory opinions in Alabama, they kind of gave an advisory opinion. If they recommended life without parole, the judge could still override their recommendation and get and sentence them to death. And, you know, like I said, it was Alabama in like two or three states, but them other states bailed after this Florida, Hearst v. Florida case. I'll talk about it in a minute. And Alabama was a sitting, I mean, it was a Lone Ranger out there. It had to be done. And it is. Now listen, I haven't. Thinking about this, I haven't had anybody in my family murdered. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I can't speak on the side of victims. You know, there may be some victims that don't like it, but when you really get down to it and be fair, who should determine someone's fate? 12 people or one yeah. elected judge? Mm-hmm. That's the deal. You know, and I was reading on the. I was reading some of the news, some of the stuff a minute ago, and I'm not saying this is exactly the numbers, but the Equal Justice Initiative seemed like they said there's 116 or 126 times has been judicial override, and the judge has chose death 111 of them. You know what I'm saying? So the judge, you know, they're elected, and they like saying, you know, they're the hanging judge, what we call them, you know, and they would for what they would choose death. I just don't know. If I was sitting there as a circuit judge and I had it doesn't and if I'm not mistaken, in Alabama it only requires 10 to jurors. If 10 jurors find that there's more aggravating factors than mitigating factors in a murder case, then they can recommend death. And if you got 10 of them, you don't have to have the whole 12.
Okay.
If you got
10
of them, yeah, you got 10 of them, you get the death penalty. It can stick. Now, the thing about the judicial override, I was looking earlier and I couldn't find it on my phone. I was wanting to actually see the final bill. I've seen them as it was in the House. I haven't seen all the amendments. I'd like to see the bill that she signed. I mean, this just happened not too long ago, to see how does it do it the other way? I guess if you do judicial override, it's pure, it's gone. It's mm-hmm. always a jury question, which is probably pretty good. What if the jury recommends death and the judge says, you know what, this person really don't need death. They should get life without parole.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure it overrides everything, unless the jury makes the decision. And that's the best way. The fight now, I say the fight, the only thing that's left out there, and there's only a few states that's left that does this, is a unanimous decision. Alabama's still got 10-2. I don't know what there's probably some other states, but it ain't many that's got most of them requires unanimous.
So we're saying right now that the judge cannot overrule
the
jury.
I'd really love to look at this bill before I answer it, but he, you know, the question is, does it go in effect? It's probably an immediate. It probably goes in effect as soon as the governor signs it. But you know, a lot of bills don't go in effect until October the 1st, September the 15th, or 3 months or 4 months. There's a lot of technical stuff, so I don't know exactly when it goes in effect. My understanding, also from reading, I'm assuming what's true on AL.com, it go back retroactive. So all these, but now that's going to be a lot of litigation coming up. You know, there's going to be a lot of people, which it's been the Supreme Court a few times before, that's going to say, hey, you know, I'm a convicted murderer. Jury recommended life without parole. Judge gave me death. Now you're saying,
right,
if I committed the crime now, you know, I wouldn't be subject to it because I committed the crime 15 years ago. You know, they're going to say that's not fair, and that's going to go to the Supreme Court, and we'll say, hey, that's why it's important on these Supreme Court justices, man, who, you know, the Robert Gorsuch got confirmed this last weekend, didn't he, I can't remember when it was, but he got confirmed, and that's important to see how the Supreme Court going to rule on that. They're going to rule. In the past, they've allowed it. They said, no, you got sentence, you stuck with your sentence. But, you know, you get some Supreme Court, they may change their mind and say, nope. If what's fair for one is fair for all, and we change it. So,
and I'm sure that's happened several times.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It changes a lot, man, a whole lot. Hey, I've done it for 15 years, done a lot of criminal law, and it changes all the time. I mean, the Supreme Court cases, they change. I see as we go forward, things are getting tougher. For instance, there were United States Supreme Court cases back in 2002 that really made it tough on police with search warrants and stuff. They said, look, if you don't do this, then the search is no good. Well, a lot of that's just kind of going out of the wayside. They kind of allow them to do to do what they want to.
Well, this is just a broad spectrum, I guess. You know, maybe it seems like in the past you'll see the president of the United States going signing this bill or whatever. You got this judge over here in the state of Washington making their own ruling, I guess, overriding what the president of the United States is saying.
Yes.
I mean, is this just going by state, his state, what he's trying to do, or is he just trying to overrule the president of the United States?
Yeah, he's just trying to overrule the president of the United States. So as soon as that bill's filed, see, these people know whatever group is fighting the stuff that's going on, like, for instance, with the Donald Trump, the immigration stuff he's filed. They know they can get a judge in Washington, or they can get a judge in this more liberal area to sign it. So you have a federal judge that signs a restraining order, says, yeah, you can't use it, that can't go into effect. And what that does is just set up a delay. It just delays it.
Okay.
So it can, that judge can, that they'll have a trial on it eventually months down the road, then it'll go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out there in California or wherever it is before Washington. And then he'll end up in the United States Supreme Court 2 or 3 years down the road. So you're just delaying stuff, yeah. That's just what happens.
I can't imagine being the president of the United States and having that happen to me all the time.
Yeah. I tell you something that's interesting. I hope I don't get disbarred for this. All this Bentley stuff, since we've been talking about it. You know, last week, there was a judge that Bentley's lawyers tried to stop the impeachment proceedings and tried to stop the investigative report from coming out. That was going on last Thursday and Friday. Well, they filed a motion for a restraining order, the Bentley's lawyers saying, judge, stop this stuff from happening. Well, the judge heard the case, one of them in Montgomery, and he said, you know what? We don't have jurisdiction. I can't stop it. You know, that's a legislative function. I can't stop it. Then he recuses. I mean, I don't know this is facts. This is what I read on AL.com, and I assume these facts are true. So he recuses because he says he contacts Judicial Inquiry Commission to determine, hey, I was appointed by Bentley. Do I have a conflict of interest?
There we go.
In doing this? Okay. So he says in his order, I read the order, that based on his conversation with Judicial Inquiry Commission, they recommended, I think they may have even told him, he cannot issue rulings. So he recused out of the case another Bentley appointee judge. Now, how's this happen? Appointee judge by Bentley rules, he enters the restraining order. So the first judge says, no, I don't have jurisdiction to do it. I can't do it. That's legislative function. The second judge, same, he's a Bentley appointee also. Same rules apply, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
He issues a restraining order. And then, I know we got to get a break in a second, but let me tell you this. This is what's interesting. This is what's going to get me disbarred. Supreme Court issues a ruling on their own undoing his order.
Mm.
So it was all good. It all worked out.
Right.
It was all fine. The always the question that we talk about, the things that happens, is how did that get to the Supreme Court? Was there an appeal, or are they just stepping in and issue rulings? It just gets kind of crazy.
It does.
You just wonder.
You're listening to Understanding the Law. If you'd like to give us a call at 737-9505 and you have a question for Melvin Hastings, please give us a call and he will answer your questions. This is Big D. We'll be back in just a moment.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present our first syndicated radio show. Hosted by our very own Coleman native, who is a member of the Coleman High School Class of 86, Paul Watley. Tune in on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. for British Music Rocks, a two-hour show featuring the best music from across the pond from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
This is Paul Watley, your host for British Music Rocks. Please join me each Sunday at 7 p.m. for British Music Rocks, where we will take an in-depth look at British rock from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
And stay tuned after British Music Rocks for our very own Sunday Night Live. All live cuts from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Live 95, the station all about Coleman. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5, bringing you Creative Design. They integrate cutting-edge graphic design into a high-volume printing operation, combining state-of-the-art technology with the artistic human element. Creative Design offers vehicle wraps, signs, banners, jerseys, and printed shirts of all kinds, hats, and so much more. They are the premier printers for Cosmic Sound, Live 95.5 on the Big D Radio Show. Let Tina Walters at Creative Design help you with your purchase and design. You can find them on Facebook, Creative Design, 256-734-7242. That's 256-734-7242.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law with Melvin Hastings. So we're talking about this circus in Alabama. It's not Ringling Brothers. It's
no, they're going out of business. You know that?
Yeah, I've seen that. What's up with that?
Is it May? I think May or June.
It may be
their last shows. Yeah.
So sorry about that. You know that was a moneymaker over the years. Holy smoke!
Yeah, and they. I guess you've seen it coming. Was it last year when they decided they weren't going to use the elephants no more at the circus, and then. I don't know. They just kind of gave in.
How long have they been in business? Like 40 or 50 years?
No. It's more than 100. It's over 100.
Wow.
Yes, they've been doing it for a long time. It's a big deal.
Wow. Everything comes and goes, just like governors. That's
yes.
For sure.
Some in better situations than others. Yeah.
Look, I'm surprised we don't have any callers in with this little circus that we have here. I'd be blowing up the phone myself having fun with this one.
I'm sure Alabama's been the talk of many radio shows throughout the nation.
I'm sure. You know, I mean, Melvin, come on. It's every state in the United States.
But oh, yeah. What's it? Hey, they were saying that Illinois has got more governors over the last so many years. That's like actually in prison. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want to say. Yeah, they're talking about it. I think it came up, and somebody did some research on it, and it was on one of the radio shows. And I may be wrong, but I want to say they had like four governors in prison. So yeah, it's nuts. You know, when you think about it, your chief justice is out. Your Mike Hubbard, Speaker of the House, convicted. He's out. And now the governor. That's a lot of big cards to fall within a year's time.
I can remember many years ago, I worked in Holly Pond, and I'd go to the local cafe at lunch and get something to eat, and Guy Hunt would come in there and sit at a table next to me and eat, and, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, he's such a nice guy, you know, he was very quiet and stuff like that, but even for Guy Hunt to get in trouble, you know, I guess illegally using the state airplane to go to church revivals and other things, and... Man, I just tell you, you're constantly being watched on everything that you do, and if you do one little thing wrong, you're gonna get nailed for it.
They're gonna get you.
But you know, I thought it was kind of funny. You know, even for Guy Hunt being in politics in Coleman County, the way that he got into the governorship, and you'll have to probably help me, Charles Baxley and
Graddick. No, Bill Baxley, Bill and Baxley, Charlie Graddick.
Charlie Graddick. Yes. They are doing nothing but mudslinging the entire campaign, and the entire state of Alabama is sick of it.
Yep.
And Guy Hunt slides in there just like that, and he's the governor of Alabama.
Yes. Twice. Got elected twice.
I remember it like it was yesterday. Yes. Good mudslinging back in them days, by the way. I mean, come on. How much money are you going to pay for all these political ads to mudsling every single day?
I'm thinking, I don't know what Baxley does. Charlie Graddick, if I'm not mistaken, he's a circuit judge down in Mobile County, I think.
Yeah. Well, at least he's still in politics.
Yeah. One of them was the attorney general, wasn't he? I think they were.
May have been. Look, I used to keep up with the governorships when I was a kid. I think when I was about 12 years old, we had Fob James. I wasn't really too high on Fob James. I don't know if you even remember him, do you?
Yeah, I don't know if I should say this, but I will. Alabama history.
We have another bad.
They're going to kick me off this show because it's a liability. Anyway, in Alabama, we had Alabama history, and I lived with my teacher. I won't say his name, but we had to remember certain things about governors. And every time I hear Fob James' name, I remember him. He taught us the answer was running idiot. And I thought that was kind of bold, but that it's always stuck with me. So it's crazy how something from your childhood just sticks with you. Because when his name comes up, that's what I remember. I don't know much about him. But.
Well, I don't. Well, back then, the trucking industry was really big. I mean, it was huge. And Fob James would always be up in an 18-wheeler, like he was a truck driver, you know, and he would do his little spiel of what he was going to say out of the 18-wheeler, looking at the camera. But, you know.
I guess that was the days of what, Smoking the Bandit.
Well, there you go.
Convoy.
It was. Back in the late 70s.
Truck driving movies coming.
But I never can remember anything that Fob James done that was positive for this state. So.
Is it he the one that owns the little expressway, the Orange Beach Expressway?
I'm not sure.
One of the governors, I thought, did that. But we're off the law, ain't we?
I'm telling you.
We get sidetracked.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I just have a good time with the governors, you know. Come on, you know. I mean, look, Jimmy Carter out of Georgia. Next thing you know, he's president of the United States. Who would have ever thought that? Not me.
Not me.
But he slid off with it. Jimmy. You know, Jimmy's all about world peace. That's for sure. He's a good old man here in his old age, him and Rosalind. But how old is he, like 102?
He's pretty old.
Wow.
He was an old guy in, what, 76?
He was.
1980, yeah, it's an older guy then.
And his brother had Billy Beer. Man, those were some good days. Okay. All right, so look, let's get back to this Alabama circus, okay? So let me ask you a question. If Bentley is charged with 4 felonies, how does he plead on a misdemeanor?
Yeah, that's kind of a tough question.
Am I going to get you disbarred first?
No, absolutely not. And I'm not making, I just ask questions. I'm not making any negative comments about things. I just ask questions. I just try to wonder how do you justify these things? How do these things happen? Because as you said before, sometimes people get a lot of power and they just kind of mishandle it. But my understanding is that the Ethics Commission's had found probable cause for 4 different types of felonies. So I guess they had asked the Montgomery County District Attorney to bring these felony charges against him. So the DA's office, the question is, do they say, yeah, I agree with you, and we're going to charge him with these felonies, or do they say we're going to charge with these misdemeanors? You know, a lot goes into these decisions about what they end up doing at the end. I think probably the average citizen, and probably me, I think, you know, he needs to plead to felonies. That's what he's charged with. But you have to, I mean, look at what all he lost. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He is getting punished. He's not going to jail. He's not going to prison. I understand that. But he is a convicted criminal. It's just a misdemeanor. It's not a felon. He's lost a lot of money. He can't run for political office as part of the plea agreement. I think they said he loses his security detail, all kinds of stuff. So I think it's probably just a package deal, because you think about the cost of doing an impeachment and the embarrassment of doing an impeachment. You think about the cost of prosecuting this case against him, getting all these witnesses up for a trial, how big of a trial this was. And I think everybody made a decision and said, look, if you agree to step aside, we'll lessen the criminal charges against you, let you plead these and go on. And that's the way they do it. It happens in all criminal cases. People commit felonies, and they plead to misdemeanors. There's a lot to it. Some of it depends on can the state prove the case? How remorseful is the person? How much have they done since they've done the crime? Have they went through classes? You know, have they done stuff? Maybe that's on drugs. Okay, and they've went through drug rehab or something. So the DA makes a decision. Hey, he's been punished. I'm not going to stick a felony on him. I'm going to give him one more chance. There's a lot that goes into determining who gets felonies, who gets misdemeanors. Wow. And it's the type of crimes too. You know what I'm saying? Somebody charged with murder, and you got a pretty good case against them with murder, you're probably not going to plead them to a misdemeanor.
Right.
You know, somebody charged with a felony theft, which is above $500, you got $505 worth of stuff stolen, they may say, hey, you know what, let's let them plead to a misdemeanor. I don't even know if we can prove $505 right. worth of stuff stolen. So
unless they're at Dollar General.
Unless they're at Dollar General.
And they just got stuff just falling out of their back pockets.
I told you the story about the girl with robbery, didn't I?
It's been
a long time ago, man. I mean, people don't realize it. And it's serious when we talk about crimes. Where you go into Dollar General, and it happens there, and I think we've talked about this before, but you go into Dollar General, a person does, with another person, and they steal just a few dollars worth of stuff. It's shoplifting. It's a misdemeanor offense. But whenever the Dollar General employee tries to stop you because they catch you on camera and you force your way out, you just committed robbery. You're robbery second, yes.
Hmm.
Yes. I mean, it forcing it out is robbery third. The fact that you've got somebody else with you that's kind of an accomplice makes it robbery second. Yeah, you get in some serious stuff.
So is that accomplice going to be charged the very same thing, even though they probably didn't grab any products
if they aid in the commission of crime by pushing away, by knowing what's going on, they can be charged. If they drive the getaway car, then they can be charged with it too. Yes,
your potted meat falls out of your back pocket, you jump in your Ford Pinto, and there you go, you're in
charge of robbery. That'd be bad. Be a bad day.
It would
make some bad mistakes.
I'm telling you. And unfortunately, they do it every day.
They do it every day. I used to not see robbery charges a lot, but there are a lot of robbery charges now. And it's because people, I mean, it's not just a simple shoplifting. It's people's getting desperate. They're in trouble. They know they're in trouble. Maybe they've got other cases pending. They're thinking, oh, my gosh, my probation is going to get revoked because I just got caught shoplifting. And they decide to take matters in their own hand. And they think just pushing away is going to help them out, but it doesn't. You know, you start pushing away an employee, man, and you get in a mess.
Because, look, I mean, these folks out here, I hate to give free plugs, okay? But these folks out here at Belk's and some of these other retail places, man, they will, I mean, they're on top of you as soon as you hit that door.
Yes.
And they're going to run after you, too.
Yes, they have cameras and they have people that works. I mean, that's all they do is walk around watching for stuff. And I tell you, they got it to an art. They know what you. It doesn't pay to commit crimes, and that's what everybody says. But it does it because you can't outsmart them. You know, you can't outsmart what they've done. They've, going to dressing rooms or whatever. However, people tries to commit it, they know how you're doing it. They know when you're doing it, and they will catch you.
Exactly.
So, might as well not do it.
I don't understand, if I'm on parole, why am I going to go out there and do something stupid like that? I don't even comprehend that at all.
I asked a lot of people, because I do a lot of criminal defense stuff, and I asked people, what was you thinking? And the response is, I wasn't thinking, I did something stupid. There's a majority of them that says, hey, I was on drugs at the time. you know, they're not thinking about it. It's that moment of just doing something stupid, you know, and it gets you in a, like I said, a simple shoplifting can turn into a robbery and a felony and then jail and prison time real fast.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, I mean, I know what happens every day, and everybody has an excuse for it or reason for it. But, hey, I'm just old school, I guess. Man, go get a job and stay out of the Dollar General.
Hey, you would be you'd be surprised, especially in a lot of other counties, but it happens here in Coleman too, of murders and stuff that happens because of drugs, because someone will go into a house or whatever else, they're going to steal or whatever they're going to do. Somebody pulls a knife and somebody pulls a gun and then somebody's dead and then you got a mess.
Well, we have surprise. We have a surprise guest. Tiffany Collins with Abbott Vacation Rentals has joined us. So Tiffany, have you ever had anybody to actually try to steal anything out of your condos?
Yes, unfortunately so.
Go in detail. Let us know.
Well, we've had as small as toothbrush holder with a bikini on the line, a decorative toothbrush holder stolen, pillowcases, bedspreads, that was a unique one, and unfortunately we have had a break-in or two.
Oh.
They stole TVs and trashed the place.
Wow. See, and you think your folks are going to go have a good time at the beach, and the next thing you know, your mattress is going out of your condo. I mean, come on, what are we going to do about that?
Tiffany, since we're beating up on Robert Bentley, is he ever renting from y'all?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But if he did, we would make sure to throw the mattresses away.
You're listening to Understanding the Law. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm sorry you went there.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present our first syndicated radio show. Hosted by our very own Coleman native, who is a member of the Coleman High School Class of 86, Paul Watley. Tune in on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. for British Music Rocks, a two-hour show featuring the best music from across the pond from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
This is Paul Watley, your host for British Music Rocks. Please join me each Sunday at 7 p.m. for British Music Rocks, where we will take an in-depth look at British rock from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
And stay tuned after British Music Rocks for our very own Sunday Night Live. All live cuts from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Live 95, the station all about Coleman. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5, bringing you creative design. They integrate cutting-edge graphic design into a high-volume printing operation, combining state-of-the-art technology with the artistic human element. Creative Design offers vehicle wraps, signs, banners, jerseys, and printed shirts of all kinds, hats, and so much more. They are the premier printers for Cosmic Sound, Live 95.5 on the Big D Radio Show. Let Tina Walters at Creative Design help you with your purchase and design. You can find them on Facebook, Creative Design, 256-734-7242. That's 256-734-7242.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law with Melvin Hastings and Big D. I know we've had a little fun with Governor Bentley, but it's just some crazy things that's constantly going on in the state of Alabama with politics and
theft. Didn't Tiffany say that what she had, TVs, towels, bedspreads,
everything,
mattresses, all kinds of stuff stolen.
So I...
It's nuts. You know, and like I said, it's $500 the threshold for felony. So you steal a TV, it's over $500. That's a felony.
There you go. Yeah. But, I mean, and you're in the wide open in this huge, you know, condominium place, and you're walking out with stuff.
Surely they're doing it in the middle of the night, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, usually they got some tight security at these places.
Yep.
Usually. But who knows? Misdemeanors in criminal law is what we've been speaking with tonight. So we have a caller, and on the phone, Melvin, is Dan Burks. Dan, welcome to Understanding the Law. What is your question?
I got a question for the one and only Melvin Hastings.
Uh-oh.
And the one and only, yeah, Melvin, I'm friends with you on Facebook.
Yes, sir.
And the one and only, the man, Darrell Nedley.
There you go.
Can I not charge Rebecca Mason with elder abuse?
Well, you know.
Hey, you know, I'm laughing, but listen to this. Our legislature, in their infinite wisdom, they've really changed the elder abuse laws. Elder abuse, I haven't had a case with somebody charged with this. But it not only includes physical abuse, but it includes emotional abuse, and I almost think it includes something like financial. Okay, so let's assume that what I said is true. I think there's probably some way they could say that she has maybe extorted money out of him in some way, and they may can. But what I'm wondering, though, I'd have to really read that statute, because it may require, I don't know if it can be anybody charged with elder abuse, or does it require you have some type of relationship with that person? Wow. You know, and is it elder abuse because of their age? You know, there's a lot to it when you read the law. You know, somebody may be doing something. For instance, I think he's 74 years old. Let's say the Alabama law is 75. Anything above 75 is elder abuse. Well, then the answer would be no, she didn't commit elder abuse. She may have done everything else, but she didn't meet the age limit. But, you know, I
don't even go there, because I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, I laughed when you first said it, but now that I think about it, there's probably some way they can, if you looked at the statute.
Well, I listen to talk shows, you know, during the day, and, friends would, you know, all basically on Facebook, and I didn't even know this show was on, and so, you know, now I started, you know, tonight's my first night to really watch it online and all. I mean, you know, Darrell, man, I think you got a great thing going on, man. More power to you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Dan, we've had a lot more law than we... in the prior shows than we've had tonight. We've almost taken too much fun, but it is... It is good. I mean, I appreciate you calling. I mean, I like answering questions, and I try to tell things like I pretty well understand them to be.
Well, I mean, man, I just wanted to call in, man, and let y'all know, you know, y'all got some listeners out here. And, hey, man, I appreciate the show. I started following you tonight, and hey, more power to you, man. I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna be your regular. Hear me?
Well, good deal. Hey, and Dan, if there's some suggestions, if there's questions or things that you want to talk about, we always meet up with I guess I call her the producer of the show, or one of the people helping out with the show, and she always wants to know what are we talking about tonight. So, I mean, if you got ideas, if there's things you want to know about, or anybody, y'all give us a call and we can kind of discuss this. You can see we bounce around a lot.
Hey, well, you know, hey. Right after Tommy Tuberville does his deal in governor, hey, let's put Miley Hastings in.
Or Pat Dye, if he can stay away from the beer.
Y'all have a good, man. I'm going to get back and start watching.
Thank you, Dan. So, so sometimes, Melvin, in the past, I've listened to Jock Station out of Birmingham. I don't know what it is, 94.5, 95, something like that.
94.5.
So, okay, so every now and then, they'll have Pat down. Really?
I know.
Holy smoke. I have listened to him be so drunk, calling in, and I'm thinking, are you not just ruining your reputation just a little bit more? Now, I know you probably own the entire town of Auburn with your farms and everything else, but man, you need to lay off the liquor.
Sometimes he gets off on tangents, and he's probably a very smart man when it comes to football, but a lot of his answers just don't sound like it, though, does it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's like, it's almost like, hey, yeah, all we got to do is have the quarterback. We got to have the center, the quarterback. As long as that quarterback gets the ball and he hands it off to the running back, and the running back goes to the right hole, and he don't run to the left when he's supposed to run to the right, we're going to get first downs. I'm like, all right, tell us something we didn't know, Mr. Coach Dye. But
wow.
He's still respectable. I mean, he's got a field named after him, don't he?
Yeah, well, I know Dye
Field. So. But he is a character.
He is.
But Crane, it Crane Works? Yes.
I have always liked Pat Dye.
Yeah.
But wow. What a character he is now in his older age. Oh, me.
So, I'll just throw my own little question out there since we've been talking about what Bentley, what he pled to. You know, misdemeanors are also classified in the classes just like felonies. There's Class A, Class B, Class C misdemeanors. I'm always subject to being wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, Class A is up to 90 days in jail. Class B is 6 months, and then a Class C misdemeanor would be the lowest one. That would be up to 90 days. A Class B would be up to 6 months, and a Class A misdemeanor, which is the most serious one, would be up to a year. That's the jail time that can be imposed. There's also probably some fine limits, probably like $500, $1,000, $1,500 limits on these misdemeanors. I imagine he pled guilty to some campaign finance ones, so I imagine those are probably Class A misdemeanors. I can't remember what sentence he got. I mean, he could have. They worked that out. They agreed to it as far as the plea deal. You know, if the judge heard the case and found him guilty of it, then he could have been sent to jail up to 12 months. But it is a... All of these are county time. It's not prison. You don't go to Kilby Prison. Mm-hmm. You stay in the county jail on these. But hey, if he violates the terms of his plea agreement, he can be served whatever jail time his suspended sentence was.
All right, I have two questions because I'm going right field and left field. If you're sentenced to 1 year in the county jail, can you serve less time? If you are sentenced 1 year and 1 day, does that mean you're going to do the entire year?
No. The difference in 1 year and 1 day is a felony. A 1 year and 1 day makes it a felony. Anything over a year is a felony. So 1 year and less is a misdemeanor.
Okay.
So the question is, this gets real technical. You're going to make me have to think about this. If I'm not mistaken, sometimes, even though this sounds crazy, you have to spend more time in jail on a misdemeanor than you do a felony.
Is that right?
Yes, because I think you have to serve 6 months and something on a misdemeanor. There are people that are pled guilty to felonies that gets a 3 or 4 or 5 year sentence. they're out in 3 or 4 months.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
So let Big D do a felony, not a misdemeanor.
Ooh, I just would. I wouldn't take my chances with any of them.
Well, look, Danielle said I'm over here jaywalking in Gulf Shores and I'm fixing to get arrested.
You know, and that's a violation, and a violation's up to hey, the judge can put you in on a violation 30 days. You know, so you can get up to 30 days
my
in a violation.
Goodness. Yes. Okay. Look, we've got Brenda Parrish calling in, and we're going to see what Brenda has to.
She may be going to scold us for,
you know, well,
hours.
You know, she is a teacher at Wealthy School, so I bet she's got a paddle ready for us. Brenda Parrish, this is Big D. You're on with Melvin Hastings, young lady. What is your question?
Well, I'm just curious. I kind of think the whole thing was set up from the very beginning when it comes to Rebecca Mason and the Bentley deal. Just my own opinion is her age and her husband. I guess that's another story. But they're trying to say now that they're going to try to go after her, Rebecca Mason. I know that Mrs. Bentley's aide has come forward and told how the whole thing came about and how she helped her find out the truth. But what can they get out of her? I mean, can they or her and her husband be forced to pay back their pay? I mean, because if it was tax dollars money that was spent, can it be given back to the state?
Probably not, because I don't know that they, you may not agree with my answer, I don't know that they fraudulently got the monies. But now, let's say that they charge her with some type of crime, and then she goes into this plea bargaining type of deal like Governor Bentley did. Part of her plea deal may be, hey, return the money, or else we're going to keep these felonies on you. Now, what I read, hey, this is what's real important there, Brenda. What I read on AL.com is that, well, I'm giving them a lot of.
Yeah, a lot of credit.
A lot of credit. Anyway, that's all about newspapers. That's how you find your news now. But they say that they've been looking at an investigation about the money, and I haven't thought about that. You know, this money that's getting set aside, and if they're not filing on taxes, if it's illegal, hey, it can be money laundering. Then you get in some major, you get in federal court then, and that could be an issue. So that's why, again, I said at the beginning, here I am being a criminal defense lawyer. If I'm Rebecca John Mason, my mouth is sealed with chapstick. You know what I'm saying? I go on. My lips are sealed with chapstick. That's the commercial. I keep my mouth shut and go on.
And I'm sure hers will be as well.
They need to be, because you don't know. Hey, there's people that gets convicted of lying. You know, it is a crime to lie to a police officer. It's a crime, of course, to lie to Congress. Yes. So if they're asking you questions and you're trying to cover it up, that, you know, they may be asking you questions going to get you charged with theft, but then you end up getting charged with lying to a police officer because you're trying to cover up the theft. That's why, you know, they're better off keeping their mouth shut and go on, because
the
damage is done.
Right, and especially when they are in charge of, you know, they're in a position that's using our money that should be, you know, instead of, with like Bentley having to take his plane to Auburn from Montgomery for some kind of speaking event. My God, it's 45 minutes away, drive.
Yes.
You know, we're that's our tax dollars that pay for that plane.
Do you really think he cares?
No.
Not now.
None of them do. And as a teacher who's been, you know, I can't cuss, she told me, but, you know, screwed basically on our pay, you know, cut 10% 9 years ago and have only received 2 back, and then he goes behind closed doors, which that's another thing I want to talk about. With AEA, he's got, you know, the AEA has a lawsuit against PHIP.
Yes.
Because what they did was illegal. You know, that he's given us, or he called it a raise, but it's not. It was a 4% give back. And then the next day, they vote behind closed doors, which is illegal. It had to be an open meeting, to take away that, basically, by upping our rates and everything else for the longevity, they called it, of PHIP.
You know,
well, all of it was done illegally. And, of course, who was the president of the board on PHIP is Governor Bentley.
You know,
can he be slammed by that? Can that come back to haunt him?
It probably can, but I figured they're done with Governor Bentley. I figure he walks on his merry way. Now, he can do some stupid stuff and face some more charges, but, you know, it's really a slap in everybody's face when the the state tells you they're strapped for cash and they're having to lay off, mm-hmm. you don't get your benefits like you're talking about, and then you see how much money they abuse, you know, and how much money
exactly.
goes out.
And that's what I say about the plane trip and things like that. Or, you know, he left his wallet in Tuscaloosa, you know, take the helicopter. It's that kind of frivolous spending that drives me nuts as a school teacher. When I spend $1,000 out of my own pocket a year on my own class, because I don't get enough money. So that's a whole other story. But it's just the fact that I'm hoping he can get slammed with more charges.
And I doubt it'll happen.
Yeah, he's probably done. I just don't know that anybody else is going to really go after him. You know what I'm saying? Because at some point they'd probably say it's political, but
yeah.
he's probably done. He'll go down in history as being Fob James. He'll go down in history.
The love gov.
I mean, literally. I mean, my teacher that called Fob James 20 years now, if he was still teaching, he'd probably tell my kids the love go. This is the love go.
Exactly.
It is sad.
My dad would.
Yeah, the love go.
Well, look, listeners.
Thank you. I was just curious about all that and seeing if he could somehow. I really wanted impeachment next to his name and not resignation, but oh well.
And Brenda, we will have you on the Big D Radio Show here pretty soon, by the way.
Well, you know I'm ready.
We will book you in the next few weeks.
Okay.
Thank you for calling
me. Nice talking to y'all.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye. So I guess the other question that I was going to squeeze in earlier was, it seems like the big topic is, you know, with all this political stuff, is the political campaign money. Uh-huh. And somebody is always getting slammed because they are misspending this money. So how many people is watching them to see how much money they got raised, how much money is spent on the campaign versus what they're blowing on limousines and jets and everything else? I mean, that's just crazy.
Hey, if you go back and see the stuff about Mike Hubbard, it's bad because he, you know, they came into office in 2010. It's a Republican, and I've always been a Republican all my life. But they come in, it's a Republican takeover. And we got all these tougher campaign finance laws, everything, tougher ethics laws.
Right.
That's what took them down. they passed the laws and made the changes and end up taking them down. So sometimes you have to be, you know, you have to be careful what you ask for. And them campaign finance laws are tough, man.
I know they are.
They've got a lot of stuff in them. I mean, and you know, the best thing is if you're not spending on your campaign, I always say, man, just don't spend it. If you're questioning if you can do it, don't do it. Don't take the chance. It ain't worth it. It's paid out of your own money. Cause you can do what you want to with your money.
Right.
But with somebody else's money, you have to be careful about.
Because there are so many contributors that I don't even know about, that you don't know about, and man, they're chunking some money to these people. It's unbelievable the amounts of money they're getting.
And they get the benefits too.
Oh yeah,
you know,
of course they do.
In the end, you know, if you paying the money, you got the ear. So when it's legislature time or bills, you know, signing bills by the governor or whatever else, you know, they kind of sitting there smiling and hoping they can influence it one way or the other.
Wow. Well, we have come to the end of another exciting episode of Understanding the Law. And right before we leave, I just want to remind everyone that we're going to have the live 95.5 third annual Battle of the Bands, April 29th and 30th at the Coleman County Fairgrounds. It's going to be a great time. We've got 12 bands, and we've got 11 lined up. We're just going to book one more. 2 days of great entertainment. We're going to have a car show. We're going to have a place for the kids, arts and crafts vendors, and we're still accepting vendors and sponsors. So give us a call, and we're going to be getting with you shortly about the ticket sales. They will start happening soon. So thank you, Melvin, for another fun night of Understanding the Law.
Always a joy. Hey, I do look for this. Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock, man. I got it booked down because it gets you away from reality every once in a while, don't it? We get off in La La Land, but it's fun.
It is fun. I love talking about the law, and I'm not even a lawyer, nor would I ever be. But it's, you know, but look, if I was, I'd be rich. I mean, that's what Melvin says.
No, it's not. It's not bad. You don't make a lot of money. You can make a living, but it is fun.
It is
challenging. I love it.
I know, and you know, and just to go out there and help people like you do that really need the help, you know, that's awesome.
I do help a lot of people out.
I know you do.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Help me out sometime. Hey, look, come back and see us next Tuesday at 6 p.m. for Understanding the Law. From Melvin Hastings, this is Big D right here on Live 95.5, Coleman's Independent Radio.